I feel like I need to change my sermon tonight and go a different direction, but we're going to Luke chapter 19 tonight. I'm going to stick with what I originally planned and tonight. And a man that got something he needed, which was salvation, and that ought to encourage all of our hearts. That's what the world needs, amen? The world is in sad shape right now, and the world is in a mess right now, but it needs Jesus. And we got that message, amen? So we're going to look at a man tonight that found him, that found Jesus, and Jesus found him. I'm talking about Zacchaeus, and we might ought to just stand up and sing the Zacchaeus songs and do all the little motions. Boy, that'll cheer us up, amen, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and I won't remember it, so let's stop right there. You teachers can do it, though, amen? All right, we're going to go to Luke chapter 19 tonight. We're going to read the first 10 verses and spend a few minutes talking about big changes for a little man. Big changes for a little man. So it's a fresh look at Zacchaeus tonight. And let's just go ahead and be reminded, folks, we're all little in the sense that we need our big God. Amen? So we need to always remember that we are little in the sight of God. We need to be little in our own sight too, right? But this was a big changes for a little man. If you've been saved, you might be little in the sight of God, but now you are with God. Amen. Thank God for that. Let's read verses 1 through 10 of Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now there in verse 9, when the Lord made the comment that as much as he is a son of Abraham, he was really answering those that had just accused him in verse 8 about going to the home of a sinner, or in verse 7. And he reminded them, yeah, this man is also a son of Abraham. He's a Jew. But now he's a saved Jew, which is what they needed too. Amen? See, they thought that just being a son of Abraham was enough. Just being a relative of Abraham, just being an Israelite and a Jew, they thought that was enough. And Jesus pointed out, this man also is a Jew, but he just received me. He's a saved Jew. That's what everybody needs, right? Right there. And so the Lord was really answering those people, I think, in that sense right there. Now, big changes for a little man. Now, how was he little? Well, we know he was little in size. We know that definitely means he was short. The context implies that. There was a big crowd. He couldn't see Jesus. He climbed up in a tree to get a better view, right? So we know he was little in the sense that he was short. I also think it just means he was a small guy. Because if he was one of those short people that was as round as he was tall, he probably wouldn't have been climbing a tree. But he was able to climb a tree. So I'm just saying he was a little guy, right? He was a small man. I hope that's not bad to say these days, right? But anyway, he was able to climb a tree. He was just a little guy. I think that's what it means. He was a short man as well. He was little in size. I think also he was little spiritually, as we all are. In the sense that he was coming to learn that although he was wealthy, he needed God. He was spiritually little. He was spiritually bankrupt. His most desperate need was God, right? was the Lord. So he was little in size. He was little spiritually. I'll say he was little in his standards of living as well. And I mean integrity there, because he was known to be dishonest. Really, whenever he said later on, if I've cheated anybody, really that word if is since I have done this, I will return and I will restore, I will make some things right. Why? Because he was a new man, he was a changed man. But up to this point, he was little in his standards of living, being little in integrity and little in honesty as well. So he was little in a lot of ways like that, but he was a big sinner. A little man, but a big sinner who needed the Lord. And thank God he found the Lord here. Aren't you glad God's grace is bigger than our sins? He was a big sinner, but God's grace was bigger than that, right? He might have been a little man, but he's a big sinner. But God's grace is bigger than our sins, greater than our sins, amen? And that's the real story that we have here. A man that nobody thought would turn religious. If you know anybody that you think they'll never turn religious, you keep praying. God can save anybody, and that's really the lesson. One of the lessons here: the Lord can save anybody. They don't have to already be religious to become religious or to become a Christian. I might all say it that way and get saved. But he did turn religious in that sense. But everybody avoided this man. They didn't like him. He was rich because he was a tax collector. I think you know the story there. A publican was a tax collector. He collected Roman taxes on his brethren, the Jews, and they despised him. They looked at him as a traitor. They didn't like him because he was like that. And nobody would go to him. Everybody avoided him. But guess who in this story went straight to him? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So people that people avoid, the Lord loves them too, right? So we see that here in this story. So it really is a great picture of grace. This world's in trouble right now. This world's hurting right now. We see it worldwide. We see it locally. We see it everywhere. People are hurting right now. And things are just in turmoil. But the great answer and need for all of it and all people is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that material needs are important. Just ask the folks out there in Western North Carolina. Material needs are important, especially the basics. But even bigger than that, I hope people will get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? In fact, I did something the other day. Miss Teresa gave me the idea. That trailer over there, I put a box, all them Sword of the Lords that were back there, she said, put them in the trailer. All them old ones back there, I put them in there. I had a whole bunch of gospel tracts over there. I put those in there. Oh, that was a good idea. Because you know what? Somebody might need a can of beans, but they also might find some good reading and learn something about the Lord. Amen? So I appreciate that idea. She said later about some Bibles. Oh, I'm about to come in here and get all the Bibles, but I didn't do that. But hopefully they'll find those materials and find the Lord through all of this. Material needs are important. We see that. We desperately see that right now. But certainly spiritual needs are as well. So here with this man, people avoided him. Jesus went straight to him. What a picture of grace. A few points tonight to jot it down. Number one, I just want to say this. We all ought to love Jesus. Now, I'm saying that because this man wanted to go see Jesus, the Bible says. He sought to see the Lord, it tells us here in our text. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. So number one, I'm saying we all ought to love Jesus. Okay, now, I say that, but before I really get into that, let me say this. This man didn't go see Jesus because he loved him. Now, we know the story of Zacchaeus is that he went to see Jesus out of curiosity, right? He was a curious man. That's really his only thing you can say about him in his seeking Jesus. He didn't seek Jesus because he loved him. He sought Jesus because he was curious about him. This man's name was everywhere. The news was spreading about this man. He had done miracles. He had fed multitudes. I mean, all of this stuff was going on surrounding this very popular figure. And that's why all the people were there. That's why he could not get a good view. That's why he ended up in a tree. Because everybody's lining the street like a parade. Because this popular man named Jesus is coming through. So he's really there not seeking Jesus because he loves him, but he's seeking Jesus because of the popularity, hoping perhaps to see a miracle or to at least see a miracle worker. Maybe he'll stop and feed the crowd. People didn't know what to expect when Jesus came through, right? So the streets are full. You know, I almost think, by the way, too, the streets were full. I almost wonder if the trees were full, too. And now when I say that, I'm talking about little boys. Yeah, little boys are the same no matter the era. I mean, they love to climb trees, isn't that right? Little boys, little girls, perhaps, love to climb trees. I wonder if there were some little boys, children that had already climbed some trees to get a good view. And Zacchaeus, being short, might have seen some of that and said, I think I could do that, too. That's not a bad idea. You know what it meant? It meant he put forth effort and energy, and he was determined that he would see this miracle worker. Folks, think about that. Are we that eager? Do we put forth that much effort to say, I want to see Jesus? A devotional life takes effort. You know, I think if we put as much effort and energy into our devotional life as Zacchaeus put into saying, I want to see that man, I tell you what, we might get something done there. Amen? Right? It might get done in our life. So he said, this is a good idea. He was determined to see him. But his was curiosity. I say this, folks. You and I right now, we should be beyond the curiosity stage. There might have been a day when you were curious about Jesus because he was drawing you to salvation. But now that you've been saved, it ought to go beyond just curiosity and wanting to learn the Bible and wanting to know more about the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, look, don't ever lose that curiosity, right? But it ought to get beyond that to where we seek Jesus on a regular basis, not just because we're curious, not just because he might do something for us, but because we love him. Now you're getting somewhere in your Christian life. Amen? You're seeking to see the Lord on a daily basis because you love the Lord. He's the one that saved your soul. He's not just the one that you heard about that saved somebody else's soul or gave a blessing somewhere else, but he's been good in your life too. And he saved your soul too. And now you're going because you love to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You now are beyond curiosity, though that never dies, because you're learning all the time. But you're now in a relationship, because you're saved, which ought to lead to fellowship. And I tell you, you're seeking the Lord like he did there in verse 3, but because you love him. I hope. Amen, right? We ought to be seeking the Lord because we love him. Now, Jesus said in John 6, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. People are looking to get their needs met. Now, seeing a miracle was one thing, but boy, when they got in on that miracle and got fed that day, now that's even better. Amen. Hey, let's stay close to the miracle worker. We might not only see a miracle, we might get fed today, right? You know the Lord, you know what he did right there? He called them out on their motive as to why they sought him. He said, you seek me. But they were like Zacchaeus. They were seeking out of curiosity. They were seeking out of what they could get from him. I'm just saying, folks, let's keep seeking Jesus for the right reason. Love the Lord. Loving the Lord is the best motive for seeking Jesus. Don't you believe that? Even now, in your Christian life, you ought to say, hey, I want to go to church. I want to please the Lord. I want to learn more about his word, his will, his ways, his wisdom, right? Why? Because I love him. I want to go to church and hear his word. I want to go to church and I want to worship him and serve him. Amen. We ought to love the Lord. Is what I'm saying. He sought the Lord. We ought to seek the Lord because we love the Lord. Don't y'all agree with that tonight? Let's get to that point in our Christian life. He got there. It always starts with curiosity, right? But it ought to move towards we love the Lord. Let me say number two. Number two, put this down. He sought Jesus and Jesus sought him. He sought Jesus and Jesus sought him. Now, truth of the matter is, you know the Bible teaches this. Our sinful nature compels us to run from Jesus, doesn't it? In the sin nature, people aren't running. It says here, he ran to see Jesus. He put forth a lot of energy and a lot of effort, right? He was zealous to go see Jesus. But spiritually speaking, it's our nature to run away, go the other direction, right? We don't run to see Jesus. But here we see he sought Jesus and Jesus sought him. You know what I believe, folks? I believe he was seeking Jesus because Jesus was seeking him. You've heard me say it before. People show up for church and little children start asking God questions and Bible questions. You know why? Because the Lord's seeking them, and then in response, they seek the Lord. That's how it always works. He might have thought he was just curious, but he found out later that curiosity was something that the Lord was stirring up in him. God the Father draws sinners to the Savior. Amen, right? So that's exactly what he was doing right here. Oh, he ran to see Jesus, but there was nothing spiritual about it. It was a big event. Somebody famous was passing through. Years ago, a long time ago, in South Carolina, I was working at the Winn-Dixie, and the president, George Bush, the first one, the older one, he came through our town. You know, all the workers and all the customers, we all went out in front of the store just to see the cars, the presidential, what you call that thing? The presidential cars go by, the procession of cars. We didn't see the president, but he was in one of those cars. We all tried to guess which one it was. You know how that works, right? I bet he's in the third one. No, he's in the first one. He's in the second one. But we went out there, why? Because somebody famous was coming through. Somebody important was coming through. It was just a big event. That's why these people were there. That's why Zacchaeus was there to see this famous person going through. But I believe this, folks. We seek Jesus because he first seeks us. Isn't that what verse 10 says? Verse 10, oh, we know that verse well. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his purpose. That's why the Lord comes. And I believe anytime somebody's seeking Jesus, it's because Jesus is seeking them. God the Father is drawing them to the Savior. Children start asking questions. God the Father is drawing them to Jesus. People show up for church out of nowhere who hadn't been in church in forever, but all of a sudden they decide they ought to go to church. God's drawing right there. Amen. They come seeking Jesus, but really Jesus is seeking them. So I say here, he sought Jesus, and Jesus sought him. God was stirring this up in his heart. And I want to say this too. On that point, I'm glad that Zacchaeus took his opportunity. He got an opportunity to seek Jesus because God was drawing him, and he took advantage of it. You know what, folks? A lot of people are missing their opportunity when the Lord speaks to their heart, when the Lord calls. They're too busy or they're too indifferent and they don't care. And they think, I'll take care of that religious business later on in my life. And Jesus never passes their way again. In many cases, because the Bible says the Spirit shall not always strive with a man, right? Oswald Smith, I think it was, wrote a lot of books on world missions. And he's the one that would always say, why should I hear the gospel twice when most of the world doesn't hear it once? And how many times, do you know some people, maybe yourself, who have passed up the gospel multitude of times before they ever got saved? You know, that's only the mercy of God that he passes by again. Because sometimes we can pass up that opportunity and not hear that call. Whenever he came and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, I'm going to your house today. He could have said, no, I'm just, yeah, look, that's okay, I just wanted to see you out here today. I didn't really want to get involved that much. That's how a lot of people do when Jesus comes by, right? But he sought Jesus because Jesus was seeking him. And that's the time that any of us need to respond to what the Lord's doing in our life. Hey, we ought to love him. He went looking for him. For you and me, it's love now. It's past curiosity. Jesus, he sought Jesus, and Jesus sought him. Let me say this, number three. Number three is this. Jesus cared for Zacchaeus. He cared for him. Jesus cared for Zacchaeus. Well, you know, folks, that's true for all of us. The Lord went straight to this man. The Lord singled that man out that day. In the sovereignty of God, it was his turn to get saved. Jesus said, I want to go spend time with you. Why? He cared for him. Aren't you glad that's true for all of us, right? He cares for every person. Nobody else cared for Zacchaeus. Nobody else said, hey, Zacchaeus, hey, look, we got a good spot here for the parade today. Hey, come on up here and hang out with us, Zacchaeus. Nobody's saying that. Zacchaeus is like, hey, can I get up front? And they're shoving. They don't really like this guy. You go on down the line. You go somewhere else. I mean, to the point that he says, I'll just climb a tree. No, I mean, people don't care for him. But Jesus came through and showed everybody how to care for a nobody, as far in the eyes of other people. Amen. I'm glad he cared for me one day, just a nobody. Amen. Just little and bankrupt spiritually, but he cared for my soul and yours too. Amen. I'm glad he went straight to him. It shows us that he cares for all people. Somebody has said this. This is the only time in the Bible you find Jesus inviting himself into someone's life or to their home or into their life. I mean, that's an interesting statement to make, because I've already said God draws people to the Savior. Well, Jesus wasn't in the habit of going and just forcing himself on people. That's the point. But he did do it with this man. Why? Because he already knew this man was about to respond to Jesus, to salvation. He's omniscient. He knows. He didn't say, hey, you're going to come down, we're going to your house. He doesn't force himself into your house either. He doesn't force himself into your life either, right? But he already knew the drawing from heaven was happening. Amen? And he already knew this man was ready. You know, when you witness to people, you don't know if they're ready or not. But you hope so. You might find somebody, you might witness to them. They might get saved. I've told you this before. And you think, man, oh boy, I led us all to Christ. I did something today. You don't know how long somebody's been praying for that soul and how long God's been drawing them and how long God's been softening and preparing their heart so that whenever you come by with the gospel seed, they're ready. Hey, let's don't ever think we've done something. God put us there at the right time, amen, because he had already prepared them. Salvation is always of the Lord, is never of us. So I believe that was going on here. Why? Because the Lord cared for this man. He went to him. He called his name. He invited him for some personal one-on-one time. And he said, I want to spend time with you, Zacchaeus. I want to be with you today. And it was urgent. Make haste. Hey, today is always the day of salvation for sinners, amen. Don't put it off. You ought to always put a priority on salvation, right? He said, make haste. Hey, this is urgent business. Maybe it's going to be his last opportunity for salvation. So he said, make haste, come down. I'm coming into your life today, is what that was about. Thank God he took him up on it. And he said, I want to spend some time with you. I want to have one-on-one fellowship with you today. There was a personal interest in his life, and we all need to take advantage of that. So it says there was a man named Zacchaeus. It's in a parable. It's a real story. Zacchaeus was real, but at the same time, he's representative of all of us. He's a real person, real account, real story, but he's representative. It's a picture of grace of any sinner that Jesus cares about. And he cares about all. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen? So we ought to love him. He seeks us and we seek him because of that. He cares for us. And then number four, I'll say this. Jesus went to his house to fellowship. He said, I'm going to your house today. Jesus went to his house for fellowship. Think about Revelation 3:20. Same picture going on right there. Revelation 23, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, or hear my voice, open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What's sup? That's supper time. Let's eat a meal together. Let's go out to lunch together. But this was evening. It's supper time in the evening down south. Amen? Right? So that's in the Bible. It's scriptural right there. Amen. It's in the Bible. I'm going to have supper with you today. So we all learn something here. Amen. Now, he said, what's he saying? He said, but I want to come into your home. I'm knocking on the door. If you open the door, I'll come in. We'll eat a meal and we'll fellowship together. He said, Jesus went to his house. Now, you know something, folks. The Lord's interested in relationship with you. He wants you to be his child. He wants to be your father. But you know what else he wants? He wants it to go beyond relationship to fellowship. And I've already said this, but, I find a lot of people who will claim to have a relationship, Hey, I've been saved. I'm saved. I've been saved before. I've been baptized before. They're saying they got a relationship with God. If you say you're saved, you're saying you're a child of God. But where's the fellowship? Are you in church? Are you in your Bible? Are you in the Word? Are you in service? Amen. The Lord not only wants the relationship, He wants the fellowship. So He said, I'm going to your house today. We're going to eat a meal together today. We're going to spend some time together today. A lot of people say they got the relationship who don't have the fellowship. I was in a thrift store recently and I found a Oliver B. Green commentary on Revelation in the thrift store. So I go up there, I lay that on the counter. And it says right there, the book of Revelation. And you know what the lady at the counter said? Oh, my least favorite book. I said, really? Yeah, my least favorite book right there. I said, well, now for a Christian, it's nothing to be afraid of, because she was saying she was afraid of it. And she said, well, I've been saved and baptized and all that, but this business of going up there, this is the only place I ever lived, and going up there kind of scares me. I'm thinking, and she said, I've been saved and baptized. I'm thinking, you're telling me you got the relationship, but you definitely don't have the fellowship. Or else you would know. And I told her this. I said, Paul said up there is far better than down here. And then she got kind of like, well, hey, it has to be, right? You know, I never seen anybody say, I'm afraid of that book because I don't want to go up there. I don't know what it's like. Well, get in the book and find out. Have some fellowship with the Lord, and He will tell you it's far better. It is your hope. It is something to look forward to. Amen. And by the way, as I told you the other day, and I told her too, if you're saved, you don't have to worry about what's in that book. I believe we'll be gone for the great tribulation. Amen. Right? You don't have to worry about it. We won't be here for it. But I'm just saying that's somebody who claimed relationship, but I don't think they got fellowship, or else they would understand these things better than that. The Lord wants us to have both. He said, I want to go to your house and do what? He said, and abide with you. What did John teach in John 15? The Lord wants to abide with us. Amen. The Lord wants to abide with us, dwell with us, be with us, fellowship with us. He didn't say, if I call him Nicodemus a bunch of times, I keep wanting to say that. He didn't say Zacchaeus, I'm just going to drop in for a little bit. No, he said, no, I want to spend some fellowship time with you. We're going to have a meal together. I'm going to dwell with you for a while. I want to abide at your house. Hey, when Jesus moves in, He wants to be a permanent part of your life. Amen? Not just relationship. He wants it to be fellowship as well. So, the preacher might come by and say, hey, just dropping in for a quick visit. Now, the Lord says, I'm staying. I'm staying here. And He wants to be in your house too, right? Thank God for that. Continually. Not just, hey, look, and by the way, He's not saying just give Him your time, your talent, and your tithe. No, give Him your whole life as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. That's what the Lord wants. And then number five, last one, and I'm preaching way longer than I thought I would. Number five is this: Zacchaeus was joyful because of Jesus. That's in verse 6. Zacchaeus was joyful because of Jesus. He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. The book of Acts talks about all those who received the Lord joyfully. They got baptized, gladly got baptized, right? Hey, anybody who receives the Lord is going to get glad and joyful, right? He got the joy of the Lord in his life. You know what? He was a rich man. The Bible says he was rich, right? Hey, you know, just before this, the rich young ruler came and rejected Jesus, and he went away what? Sorrowful. Think about that. The rich young ruler now, he had riches, but he wasn't happy. Riches didn't satisfy him. And he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he rejected Jesus. This one comes down the tree, and the Bible says he received Jesus joyfully. They both were rich. They both had the material things of this world, but it didn't help or satisfy or fulfill for either one of them. Look, I've already said material things are needful, folks. We need the basics. We get that. But that's not what satisfies and fulfills spiritual needs. in the soul. One went away sorrowful with his riches, but without Jesus. One went away with Jesus and joyful and was ready to give away his riches. What a difference. Why? Because he had a new perspective. He had a new outlook on life. His life was no longer about the riches. His life was no longer about the material thing. No longer. It was different now. He finally found what he'd been looking for. Didn't find it in riches or materialism, but he did find it in Jesus. So this was a needed and a life-changing encounter with Jesus that day. You know, everybody needs that. Pray for people to have that life-changing encounter with the Lord. You know some lost loved ones, you have some? Pray that they'll have this life-changing encounter where they get a visit from Jesus and they receive it. And they can get the joy of the Lord in their heart as well. Big changes for a little man. Well, I said this in the outset, folks, we're all little. But you know, whenever the Lord said, I'm trying to close, the Lord said, come down. You know, like Zacchaeus, we want to climb up in this world, right? But there comes a time when we need to hear the voice of the Lord say, come down, humble yourself, I'm what you need. I'm glad he wasn't too proud and too rich and too wealthy to come down and receive Jesus. You got to come down and humble yourself to receive Jesus, and that's when you'll find joy in your life. Amen? Thank God for those truths. You know, folks, again, people are in trouble right now worldwide and right here in our own state, but mostly everybody needs Jesus. Let's help people, but let's also help people find Jesus. Amen? That's what they need. Would you bow your heads with me this evening, please? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of it. Thank you, Lord, for meeting the need of that man. And I pray, Lord, you do the same thing in so many other hearts as well, Lord, that people would find Jesus. And, Lord, I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing a song. Let's stand together, sing a song, and then we'll take prayer requests.
Amen. Let's stand one more time tonight, and we'll turn to 157, 157 in your hymnals. 157, I'll fly away. We'll sing all three verses. 157. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, O glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah. By and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life are gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away. Fly away, O glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll